In our update, we make the point that no matter what seems to be happening right now, Mr. Trump is going to be reelected. He's going to stay in power because he has been preordained to fulfill a role. And we are giving three examples. One is helping to build the third temple. Second, furthering the alienation with Europe. And thirdly, bringing about the total downfall of the United States. And these things are happening, will be happening. I want to talk about the furtherance of the alienation with Europe, because that's the one I like to really address. Now, Mr. Gale, and you might want to then blame him for it, but he sent me a very interesting article by the Daily Mail, where the author, who claims to have known President Trump for many, many years, 30 plus years, is saying that Mr. Trump is going to be reelected. Now, he gives reasons which are quite convincing, actually. But, of course, what he doesn't understand, obviously, is the fact that Mr. Trump is going to fulfill a preordained role. He was placed into this position. He is going to stay in this position until we have experienced a complete, total, utter downfall of the United States of America and a situation which will result in a war between America and Europe under the leadership of a very charismatic political military leader, in all likelihood coming out of Germany. Could be Austria. My guess is it's Germany. Because Germany is becoming more and more involved in striking back, if you please, to America. It's going back and forth. What was reported this week, and that is in the update, is the fact that Angela Merkel has rebuffed Donald Trump and his invitation to attend the G7 summit. Politico wrote about this on May 30. And the article points out that it was extremely a heated disagreement between the two, was a phone call, and that President Trump was very mad with Angela Merkel, which is nothing new. I mean, he has a short temper, we know that. But what is new is the fact that Angela Merkel also apparently reacted in kind, which is very unusual because she is normally a very soft-spoken person. And so it was a furious exchange, according to the reports. We also understand, should understand, that Angela Merkel's decision not to attend the G7 meeting was not based on health concerns, as it was officially stated in Germany. It was clearly, strictly political. It was political. And so Trump's reaction was telling, because he said, okay, well, we just postponed the whole G7 summit. Don't have it at all. And then he said, okay, and then what we should do, we should also invite Russia back to the G7, which has been, of course, excluded from the G8, as it used to be, before Trump came to power. And Trump never liked that. Now, the reaction, again, was very strong, both by Germany, also by England, also by Canada, and specifically Trudeau and Johnson were saying, no, we're not going to have Russia come back. But then the idea is, well, you know, maybe we can invite Russia back as a guest, not as a member, but as a guest. But Germany was very strong, saying absolutely not. We are not going to sit at the same table with Putin or, and that's the interesting part, with Trump. Now, so we are going to see how that is going to work out, because this now brings me to the bombshell news, the way I look at it, which was reported last night and this morning. Because the relationship between America and Germany in particular has been deteriorating in an unparalleled, speedy fashion within the last 2 weeks, if I might want to say that, ever since those demonstrations started. We have an article in the current events and this update saying that officials in Britain and Germany took subtle swipes at American leaders on Monday, and leading newspapers in Australia declared that the US is tearing itself apart and that the American political system has failed spectacularly. In Germany, top officials seem to mock President Trump's plan to declare the group Antifa as a terrorist organization. And of course, this far-left group is considered as one which has been heavily involved in becoming violent during these demonstrations. But here is an article by Deutsche Welle. The one I just quoted from was actually by the Washington Times. But here's a Deutsche Welle article stating that German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas said that the anti-police brutality protests in the U.S. were more than legitimate. And he hopes that they will speak and that they will spark change. I can only express a hope that the peaceful protests don't turn violent, and even more, the hope that they will have an impact, he said. He also added that there is press freedom for reporters, which should be upheld. Now, of course, what Maas is not really mentioning, the fact is that the protests have turned violent. I mean, there has been a lot of violence during these protests, whether they are caused by right-wing and left-wing extremists. That's one concept, but it wasn't just them. I mean, that you could clearly see based on the videos which have been posted. Now, Business Insider wrote on June 3 that, well, let me just say that here's an official who is staying anonymous. I mean, he's not identifying who he is, but it's a European official. And he says that we have been opposing together as allies in the Middle East and Eastern Europe the kind of strongman-style policing and rhetoric which we are now experiencing and seeing in the United States. Some European officials, it says, have started to side openly with the protesters. Here's one quote. The U.S. president is not an ally of European democracy. The Germans are openly done with the president. And this is why German Chancellor Angela Merkel refused Trump's offer to host the G7 at the White House this fall. Okay, now, with all that as an introduction, The Guardian reported on June 5, and many others did, that Donald Trump has ordered the U.S. military to remove nearly 9,500 troops from Germany, in a move likely to raise concerns in Europe about the U.S. commitment to the region. The move would reduce the U.S. troop numbers in Germany from 35,000 approximately to 25,000. The reaction was fierce. First, it's talking about the idea that this was not in retaliation to Angela Merkel's refusal to attend the G7 meeting, although, in a sense, they say it was. Absolutely, it was. There's also the problem that this is consistent, it says in the week of today, with Trump's frustration over the fact that Germany doesn't meet the alliance goal of spending 2%. So the concept is, we'll just take the troops away from Germany. But what was interesting to me was the predictable reaction in Germany. Deutsche Welle wrote that this is now going to further deteriorate transatlantic ties. And so conservative lawmaker Andreas Nick said, he emphasized that this was a very unusual approach. The Pentagon has not yet publicly commented and has instead redirected press inquiries to the White House. This indicates that the decision is purely politically motivated and not made by experts, he said. Germany serves as a major hub for the U.S. military and NATO in Europe and the wider region, with the U.S. maintaining key facilities such as Ramstein Air Base in southwestern Germany. However, the ties between Berlin and Washington have been deteriorating steadily over geopolitical, financial, environmental issues since Donald Trump took office in January 2017. Now, today, senior German conservative Johann Wadepool said that the withdrawal of troops would be yet another wake-up call for Europeans to take their fate in their own hands. The plans show once again that the Trump administration is disregarding an elementary task of leadership, the involvement of allies in the decision-making process, he said. He serves as the deputy head of the parliamentary group of Angela Merkel's party. So he is not just a nobody, he is very high up in the German government. I mean, I'm quoting this to you not to take sides, but to show you how absolutely rotten the relationship between Germany, in particular, and America has become. Now, the only group in Germany which applauded this move was the left-wing party, Die Linke. Now, they welcomed the development for this reason. They said, oh, the government should accept it with gratitude and promptly start preparing the complete withdrawal of U.S. soldiers with the Trump administration, because they don't like the American troops to be there. And there's also, of course, very strong speculation that America also has stationed nuclear weapons in Germany. It's never been confirmed, but it's pretty much common knowledge that is the case. But others most certainly don't like this decision at all. Norbert Röttgen, he's one of the CDU politicians in the running to succeed Merkel as chancellor when she steps down next year. He, of course, criticized the plans. Such a withdrawal would be regrettable from every point of view. I cannot see a rational ground for such a withdrawal. Now, let me just say what this means, why I feel this is extremely important. Because if America withdraws their troops, Germany has no choice. Europe has no choice but to create a very powerful army on their own. I mean, we have been telling you for years that that's going to happen. But this now will be the momentum, because they cannot allow to have a vacuum which is going to be filled by Russia and by China. And so they will have to build up a European army very, very swiftly. Now, of course, they have been already working on that for quite a while. But now they have no choice. But it's also going to be a very hostile environment, even more so, because they, of course, will blame Mr. Trump for that. And, you know, Mr. Trump has made it very clear that he is not that much interested anymore in having NATO protect Europe, at least not when it comes to Germany, Italy, France, Spain. Perhaps Poland might be a different story, as it is, of course, close to Russia. But you see, Germany, in a sense, already backfiring, and that, of course, affects now us in the church. Because it was also reported on June 5 by the Associated Press that travel restrictions would be lifted. But listen to what countries are involved and which countries are not. It says here, all but essential travel into Europe from the outside is still going to be restricted. Right now it's up until June 15, but many ministers suggested on Friday that they want this deadline extended, at least until early July, maybe longer. German Interior Minister Horst Seehofer, whose country plans to lift its remaining border checks on June 15, like many other EU countries, said that the internal border controls will be over in all of Europe at the end of June. So in other words, it's talking about the European countries. So the idea is like, then you can go from Germany to Austria and to Switzerland, France, maybe Italy, maybe Spain. We don't know about the United Kingdom yet because of Boris Johnson's ridiculous decision to have a 14-day quarantine for everybody entering the United Kingdom. So Europe has already said, well, if that's the case, nobody is going to come from the United Kingdom to Europe either. But so we'll see how that's going to go. But what about the United States? What about those of us who want to go to Germany for the feast? Well, the article goes on to say, visitors from the United States, and then they put in Russia and Brazil, would only be allowed back into Europe based on how those nations have brought the spread of the virus under control, Seehofer said. And of course, United States, Russia, and Brazil are being charged of the worst countries when it comes to controlling the virus. And so unless God intervenes, let me just make this clear, unless God intervenes, it looks pretty grim that we could go to Europe, to Germany for the feast. We just heard from our hotel in Germany, where we want to have the Feast of Tabernacles. And at this point, they would only allow 25 people in a hall. And even there, it has to be based on social distancing, wearing masks, and this kind of stuff. And of course, we have by now already over 90 people who have signed up. It's probably going to be more like 100 people by the time we are nearing the feast. And so things have to drastically change for us to even be able to keep the feast over there. And then, of course, for visitors from the United States, maybe even the United Kingdom, Canada, whoever wants to go, has signed up to go there, to be able. Of course, this doesn't just only refer to us, the Church of the Eternal God. This refers to all the Church of God groups who have been planning of having feast sites in Europe, let's say, and coming from the United States or the United Kingdom or from other countries which are at this point not allowed to have their people go over there. My point, however, is that I believe that this is really a retaliation right now from Germany towards the United States. And everything which is being said about, oh, well, this has to do with the coronavirus is just a justification, quote-unquote. I mean, you know, the social distancing over there in Europe is not even going to be upheld, as we have been hearing earlier by Michael Ling. It's just not even being done. But, you know, it has to be given as an explanation, as a justification. So the point is this now. Why is this all happening? It is clearly happening because of Satan being behind it. Satan is trying everything he can to destroy God's people and to destroy whatever God's people is planning of doing in accordance with God's commandments. I mean, we don't even know yet, even though it looks pretty good, but we don't even know yet whether we can have a feast site here in the United States. It appears like it's possible or very likely. You know, unless something is going to happen drastically again, and then, of course, you know, the restrictions are going to be reimposed. Now, if that were to happen, I'm telling you here right now, it will be absolute uproar, it will be chaos, it will be civil disturbance, civil war perhaps even, in the United States. I don't think the people of the United States will go for this one more time. It may be different in Europe. I mean, Hitler was mentioned earlier, and it's amazing to me how people were following Hitler, even though they should have known better. Even many Jews didn't think that, oh, he wasn't that bad, and so we can just and have just to follow him. That's why our booklet, which was earlier mentioned on obeying God rather than man, is so terribly important. So terribly important, because people have a complete, total wrong understanding of what it means to follow government. And as I have been saying time and again now, and I'm saying it again, this affects many people in other Church of God groups who are so going off base on this issue. I mean, if you get to the point where you think that you can vote in governmental elections, that you can participate in jury duty services, that you can ultimately then, as some in the Church of God groups have already been saying, that you can participate in war, going to the military, participate in war, if that is for the right purposes. I mean, they have no clue as to what it means, what the Bible says, to obey God rather than men. As I said in the last Standing Watch program, which you haven't heard yet, perhaps you should, if you haven't, you know, it looks like God has poured out a spirit of slumber on the American people. They seem to be completely and totally oblivious as to what's going on, focusing on all the wrong things, if they focus on anything at all. Now, I wanted to say that they are as blind as bats when my daughter corrected me this morning and saying, well, you know, and she showed me actually the proof, bats aren't even blind. So can't even say that. So, but we can say they are blind as moles. That would fit. They are dumb. That's not a good word. Maybe mute as snails, because they are mute. And then they are deaf as snakes. And that also is correct. It sounds humorous, but it's really not humorous. It's amazing how Americans in particular, and I say that with all conviction, are completely oblivious as to what's going on. And there's going to be a rude awakening for many, many people, including for some in the church, hopefully some are awake still. We understand, we should understand, that we have four spirits, if you please, in the church today. In other words, what I'm talking about is the spirit of Laodicea, or the Laodiceans. That's the predominant spirit right now, because we are living clearly in the Laodicean era. People who don't even understand about themselves what they are and who they are. And then, of course, you have remnants, and amongst those are the remnant of Philadelphia, and I sure hope that we belong to that, because we do want to have the spirit of Philadelphia, which has an understanding as to what it means to be doing the work of God very zealously. But then you also have the remnant of Sardis, and that is the dead church. These are people who think they are alive, have the name that they are alive, and they are dead. And we have to make sure that we don't belong to that group and to that kind of a spirit. And of course, then you have the Thyatira spirit as well, it looks like. So we have to make sure that we are on the right track, and people are drifting away, and they're drifting away, and I've seen it in worldwide. It's a time when Mr. Armstrong had died, and then the new leadership came into power, and how they slowly but surely did away with the doctrines, changed them around, and people were just completely, totally in line, didn't even see what was going on. People who later then started their own church didn't even understand there was changes going on. What changes? What are you talking about? Didn't even see it. Already then, blind towards what was happening. Are we blind? I hope not. What is happening right now in Europe, what is happening right now when it comes to the relationship between America and Europe, and Germany in particular, is extremely important, because that's the beginning of the end. The next great event which is going to happen is going to be the Great Tribulation. How does it start? When Europe is going to attack the United States of America, Great Britain, and Israel. And these three powers will be destroyed, as we know. And indications are it's going to be very, very quickly. Maybe the Bible seems to indicate within a month. And those three leaders of those three nations at the time may very well die within that month. That's how quick it can happen. That's how close we are. Because this has to happen. And then Jesus Christ will return. This is one of the things which has to happen. So are we awake? Are we understanding what is happening? Are we understanding that the United States of America right now is destroying itself from the inside? Also in the process of destroying itself from the outside. And of course, the third temple got to be built as well. All of this is going to be happening, and it's going to happen, and it will happen soon. Maybe much sooner than many people realize.